Hello and welcome. This is Jan Lundy, the author of Thank You Is My Prayer, and I'm delighted you're joining me for this 90-minute audio seminar on gratitude as a spiritual practice. In my life and in my work, I believe that anything taken as a spiritual practice, meaning focused attention and dailiness, has the extraordinary capability to change our lives. Gratitude is no exception. Having a daily practice, in fact, a moment-to-moment practice of gratitude, of having a thankful heart, has the ability to change our relationships, our health, our work in the world, and most importantly, our relationship to the divine, the sacred, God, however you understand that ultimate reality. During this 90-minute program, we will dive into the possibilities of how gratitude can change us from the inside out when it is approached as a spiritual practice. And so I invite you to get comfortable, have your thank you book handy, as well as something to write with, because we'll be doing a few gratitude exercises together. This is an experiential program with meditation and reflection and activities, because my deepest hope for you is that your heart will grow and expand and become a thankful heart, not just when life is good and right and things are going easily, but even during the most difficult times, that you will begin to know that place of peace and gratefulness inside of you that can easily be accessed with intention, attention, and breath. So let's begin, shall we? I'd like to open our time together with a quote by Albert Einstein, and perhaps some of you've heard of it. He said, "There are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle." Today we celebrate the miracle. One of the miracles of life, I believe, is the ability to live with a grateful heart, especially when life is challenging. At this moment in time, do you consider yourself a grateful person? Could you be more grateful? And can you imagine how different your life would be if you carried appreciation and thankfulness with you all of the time? Gratitude is a transformational practice, and I'd like to explain to you why. Why gratitude in particular? There are a lot of spiritual practices that we can take on, but gratitude has a special place in my heart. One, because it is easy. And sometimes when we think of spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines, we think they're going to be very hard work. And we may even avoid them because they might feel too challenging. But gratitude is an easy one. It's actually fun because it has the immediate effect of helping us feel better right in the moment. And it has lasting power to affect change in ourselves, in others, and in the world. But many of us struggle with gratitude, and gratitude can become a difficult thing as we age and grow older. And why is this? It seems children feel so grateful. They delight in life and find joy in the most simple of experiences. And as we get older, it seems that this childlike mind of awe and wonder is more difficult to access. I think one of the reasons this happens is because as we age, we have lived a lot. And we've learned that life is difficult. We see that there's suffering all around us, maybe within our own families, and maybe within ourselves. We've learned that life isn't fair. Life doesn't choose favorites. We may even have learned that dreams don't always come true. So we may have suffered disappointments and feel let down by life. As we get older, of course, there's also the aging factor. Our brain's focus narrows as we age. And you may see this in yourself or in others that as we get into our 70s and our 80s, worries and anxieties become more prominent. We may also focus on what's wrong and not going well for us. And so there tends to be a negativity bias in many people. And in fact, there's a negativity bias in our culture, in our Western culture, that we tend to focus on what is not good enough, what we need more of, what's missing, what's lacking. We also tend to judge, compare. We do this with others, we do this with ourselves. And so when you put all of those things together, there is a tendency to move away from the naturally grateful heart to what is missing and what's wrong. The history of lack is something that's interesting to explore too in these early stages of understanding gratitude as a spiritual practice, and I'd like it to take a moment to explain that. It may be absolutely biological and sociological, this mindset of lack. Here's why. If you can imagine back in time when we lived in tribes and clans, in caves or on savannas, life was exceedingly difficult, competitive, and dangerous. What I like to envision is how each morning, perhaps, we'd step to the opening of our cave or out onto the savanna, and our eyes would immediately scan the horizon. And what are we looking for? We're looking for danger. We're looking for evidence of enemies or predators or bad weather because we were so vulnerable and exposed and on our own, actually, against all of these elements. So we naturally, at that point in our growth as human beings, were looking for and on guard for danger all of the time because we were at risk. So this mindset is still with us in the limbic portion of our brain. And so it's not surprising that any given moment of our day, we might be on the alert, so to speak, for what's not right, what's wrong, what's missing, what doesn't feel right. It can even come down to subtle nuances of always trying to make sure that we are safe and comfortable, like it's too hot, it's too cold, I don't like the fact that it's going to rain or snow today, this will make my life difficult. All the way to greater concerns like the doctor calling with a certain diagnosis or the concern about finances. So let us be aware of this and compassionate towards ourselves because we are carrying old conditioning and ways of thinking and being with us into this modern day that we now know we can transform. We can mature this type of thinking, and we can take it on as spiritual practice because when we do, we really do get in touch with the truth of our being. The truth of our being is that within us there is natural radiance, goodness, abundance. Things are beautiful, right, and true all of the time. And yes, at the same time, things can be difficult and supposedly wrong. But we can shift our perspective from what's wrong to what's right. And this is one of the most powerful practices of gratitude that we can do. I'd like to do that practice with you right now. I actually call it What's Right. This will take just a few moments, and you might like to use your pencil and paper to do this. What it will require is that we stop for a few moments and access a place of stillness within us. That we, right now together, take a few deep breaths, feeling the relaxing sensation of the inhale and the exhale. You might like to close your eyes and just allow conscious thought to fall away for a few moments. Just sitting here with yourself in this quiet space, listening to my voice, can be a doorway for you to settle down and to be comfortable within yourself right now, just for a few minutes. And so let's sit here together, breathing in and breathing out, feeling ourselves being breathed, relaxing into our body, and feeling more comfortable where we are in this very moment. And when you feel suitably settled, I'd like to invite you to open your eyes and look around you. Scan your surroundings. And I would like you to select one thing that in this very moment you perceive as good, right, or true, or beautiful. Something that you appreciate. And what is that thing? And write it down on your piece of paper. And I'd like you to continue this process to locate four more things in your immediate surrounding that you appreciate, actually, that perhaps you're thankful for. So take a few moments and do that, and I'll be back with you in a minute or so once you've completed your five. And so what did you come up with? Your list of five would probably be very different than mine, and that's quite all right. That's as it should be, because each of us are living in our own reality. We each make our own meaning of life. How did this exercise make you feel? Did it illuminate something for you that you had not seen before? Did it help you look more deeply, as Thich Nhat Hanh teaches, looking deeply into your immediate experience to find, maybe even search for something that felt good, right, true, or beautiful? Can you imagine how this practice could change you and shift your world if, wherever you went, you put on lenses of gratitude and you could see all around you the things that were right and good and true and beautiful. Wouldn't that be amazing? How would it shift our world if we all did that? We can do this what's right practice anywhere we are. It will take us to a new level of conscious awareness. And in terms of neuroscience, what researchers are discovering today is that the more we think about something, especially a positive something, like gratitude, enjoyment, appreciation, love, compassion, we are literally creating new routes of communication within our brain. These are called neural pathways. And the more we focus on something and think about something, the more easily we are able to follow that path in our thinking as opposed to a different path. So with what's right practice, if you do this often enough, if you do it on the fly, whether you're at work or sitting on the bus or waiting in a doctor's office to do it as a practice, where you look around and find those five things that are right, in time, it changes your brain. It changes how you look at things and at the world. In the introduction to Thank You Is My Prayer, I wrote about this experience and how it changed me and turned my life around. I discovered gratitude practice at a time when I was feeling the least grateful in my life. And what it was actually is a practice that brought great relief and freedom. To begin to search out on a daily basis what was good here when a lot of my life felt very difficult and undesirable. In time, the practice became more of a habit of seeing the good, seeing beauty, viewing the things that come towards you on a day-to-day basis as gifts. Of course, it takes time to cultivate a practice like this. That's why they call it a practice, because you have to do it regularly and often for it to begin to change you. I like to think of spiritual practice, any spiritual practice, but gratitude in particular, as working our spiritual muscles. It's rather like going to a gym. Perhaps you've decided that you need to take out a membership to strength build or lose weight, and you're put on a program by a trainer. And what you notice is that in the beginning, it's very difficult. It doesn't feel natural at all. And your muscles are straining to get to a place of comfort and ease. And yet, you'll notice within a few days or a week that it's getting easier. And this is how any practice works, especially a spiritual practice. So we have to use our spiritual muscles. We have to put forth effort, intention and attention, as I say, and we work those muscles, and before we know it, we literally are feeling more grateful, or more peaceful, if that's our spiritual practice, or more compassionate. The same principle applies to anything you are bringing to your spiritual practice. And so we have to work it. When you work it, what are the specific benefits of gratitude? Because there truly are specific benefits of why you would want to use the thank you book, stay attuned to gratitude and appreciation. First, it really does improve your attitude and your mood. You do become more positive. And this is based on the principle that what we think about expands. What we focus on builds and grows in scope. So why not choose something like gratitude as your practice? Because In time, it will expand. Gratitude also opens our awareness. It opens us up to others with heartfulness. It opens us up to nature with an appreciation of beauty. For me, it has opened up especially my appreciation for life in general, even during challenging times. I've often told the story of when my father was passing away, and he was in a lovely hospice facility in Arizona. He had been struggling with cancer for about 7 years, and it was the most difficult time. You know, here, our beloved patriarch and companion and friend was leaving. And so it was very sad, obviously. And yet, in that moment, I felt extraordinary gratitude because as I sat by his bed, I was doing what's right practice. I was noticing the kind and caring demeanor of the hospice staff, the gentleness and the kindness that floated through the atmosphere. I noticed the beautiful warm temperature. It was February and I had flown in from Michigan, and so the desert was beautiful. And outside of the sliding glass door of his window, there it was, that beautiful desert starting to bloom. And how I sat and listened to beautiful music with him, how that music soothed him and me, and how the curtains blew ever so beautifully as the wind came in, that warm breeze off the desert. So it changed my whole experience and reality of death and dying by holding on at the same time to the blessings and the abundance that were there. And the same can be true for any of us. One of the other benefits of gratitude is heartful living. It just feels better to live with a full, open, grateful heart. Also, gratitude does sustain us in difficult times, as I just explained with my hospice story with my father. Gratitude as a practice can help keep our mind stable. It can actually be a form of concentration, of meditation that we can do anytime and anywhere. And what we know is that the mind does get more stable, and then the body calms when we focus on one thing in particular. So why don't we choose to focus on something good and positive and true, something that is a blessing that brings us to gratitude? Another benefit of gratitude is that it does connect us with the natural world in a new way. The beauty of Mother Earth is something to be so grateful for. And if we focus on that quite often, And I do this as a practice every morning, that one of the first things I do when I greet the day is I go to the window and I look outside and focus on nature and give thanks for it and its beauty. I will say that I have noticed that people who are deeply connected to nature tend to be very grateful people. They allow the practice of gratitude to take them to feelings of awe and wonder and a deeper connection to the majesty of something that we don't truly understand how it even came to be. For me, part of my spiritual practice is giving thanks through nature to the divine for this amazing planet that we live on and the abundant beauty that surrounds us all the time. Another benefit of gratitude is that it improves our relationships with others. When we are open and positive and heartful Everything changes between two people. The love is more evident, and the appreciation for one another is very palpable. As you cultivate your grateful heart, do not be surprised if your relationships with others changes, because it's true too that don't we love to be around positive people? People who are open and receptive. Another thing that this does, this beautiful practice does, is it, I believe, enhances our health. A practice of gratitude can actually combat depression. It can reduce anxiety and high blood pressure. It minimizes our stress because we are not overtly focused on what's wrong, how everything should be different, and what's missing or not enough or good enough. We are settled into this present moment experience of what's right and good, and that reduces all of those things I've talked about, depression, anxiety, and stress. Gratitude is a great game changer when it comes to our health. And I've also read studies which illustrated the fact that grateful people tend to live longer. It improves our longevity to have a gratitude attitude. And who doesn't want that? A practice of gratitude also moves us into compassionate action. Compassion, as you know, is the great common denominator of all the world's spiritual traditions. Compassion is the virtue of the spirit, I believe, to which we are called. And so one of the benefits of gratitude in this way is because gratitude has to do with giving and generosity. Obviously, a grateful heart is a giving heart, an open heart, that it moves us into a deeper understanding and empathy of others who are not faring as well as we are. And so gratitude as a spiritual practice will strengthen your compassionate heart. When you are grateful, you naturally feel full enough that you have plenty to give. You feel that you want to help others, to share with them, to guide them, to support them. Your grateful heart, full to overflowing, outpours onto others, oh so effortlessly. A ninth benefit of gratitude, yes, we're already up to almost 10, is that gratitude deepens your relationship to the divine. No question. As our hearts become more full and aware of the bounty that is here, thank you is the prayer that crosses our lips. When we see the world as beautiful and good and abundant, even in the midst of difficult times, I always have to add that because this is the nature of life. With the good and the abundance is also the difficult. But with practice, we can learn to hold all of that at the same time. That alone is a beautiful and powerful spiritual practice. Being able to hold the light with the dark, the good with the bad, truly, that is a profound spiritual practice, one that we all hopefully will move towards and is the hallmark of a mature spirituality. But this relationship we have with the sacred, with the divine, with God, by whatever name you call him, her, or it, or perhaps even just the ultimate truth, the cosmic reality. Gratitude plants us right in the middle of the understanding of that because it is so mysterious. How is it possible we have so much and yet we struggle? How is it possible we are in the midst of extraordinary beauty and resources and yet don't always connect with that? We become distanced from nature and its bounty. When we begin to see life as full and rich, our hearts open up to the divine with a prayer of thank you. And it also takes us into the final and ultimate benefit of gratitude, I believe, which is trust. To trust our life experience, to trust that we are here for a purpose, and there is much to learn on this wonderful journey we called life, but that we are playing a part, an important part, in the world as it is right now. And that our relationship with the divine is alive and active and vibrant, and we can trust this experience because we are always being guided towards wholeness, towards healing, and returning to our innate state of gratitude, love, peace, joy, and so on. So, knowing those 10 benefits of gratitude, why in the world would we not want to take on gratitude as a spiritual practice? I hope that you will, and I hope that thank you as a prayer will help you do that. Within the pages of thank you as a prayer are many reflections about gratitude. And one of the things I know about cultivating gratitude as a spiritual practice is that we do have to stay attuned to it. It has to be, if not a daily practice, a moment-by-moment practice. I'm hoping that many of the selections, the affirmations, the blessings, the prayers in here can be part of your daily gratitude practice. So, as an example, each day it's important for us to find time to connect with our inner being and our higher power. I call this a sadhana. It is a period of quiet and stillness where we remember what matters most. Ourselves as sacred beings, divine humans, I like to say, and our relationship with the divine. And so for me, this happens in the morning when I first get up and put on the coffee. I leave the TV off. I don't have any noise. This period of quiet entry into the day is very nurturing for me, and it is my part of my spiritual practice, my sadhana. The same could be true for you, even if you're busy in the morning, getting ready to go to work or to tend to children or family needs. We can take at least 5 minutes. And even if that means setting your alarm clock 5 minutes early to do this, please do it. Create a daily time where you can connect with your good, wise heart and cultivate gratitude. You could bring one of the passages from the book into your morning practice. You could simply read it. Sit with it, pray with it, and it will help you begin to develop that gratitude habit. You know, gratitude, like any habit, takes time. And I learned something I'd like to share with you about creating a gratitude habit many years ago from a productivity coach. And we've all heard this, I think. It takes 21 days to create a new habit. Well, there's a little more to it than that. And he spelled it out that there are stages of developing a habit. And I really appreciated knowing this because as I became more attuned to gratitude as a spiritual practice, or compassion as a spiritual practice, or inner peace as a spiritual practice, the same formula applied. And this is what he said. When you take on any new choice of behavior or way of being, from dieting to praying. Notice that it might be easy to get started. Day one is pretty easy. Maybe day two is pretty easy. And by day three, there's resistance. And what he pointed out is that day 1 through 10 are those resistance days. He described it as, imagine that you are at the base of a mountain and you have a boulder to push up the mountain. The boulder meaning the new habit you're trying to make a reality in your life. So for day 1 through 10, it's going to feel like you are pushing that boulder up the mountain, because you will have lots of resistance. That resistance usually comes in the form of our ego-based thinking, which says, oh, this is too hard, or not today, you have other things that are more important to do, or this really isn't getting you anywhere, there must be a faster way. That's just the ego trying to discourage us from a more healthful way of being, a more free way of being. So knowing that the first 10 days are going to be more challenging is a very good thing to know, because otherwise we can be our own worst enemies. Then he said something different happens when you get to day 11. It's as if you've gotten to the top of the mountain after all that effort and you're at the top. And instead of the mountain being a peak, there's a plateau. So he says days 11 through 20 or 21 are rather like you're sort of kind of kicking the boulder along with your foot, and it's moving on its own, but you have to continue to guide it and push it, but it's not so strenuous. Then day 21 through 30, you are now on the other side of the mountain going down. The habit is rolling ahead of you because it's kicked in, and you are just following along behind it. Now, in my own life, I've seen this to be very, very true. And what it also tells me is that I know in the first 10 days I will have to be vigilant. I will have to make the effort, hear what my ego is saying, but not listen to it or do what it says. Stay faithful, stay steady, and then we will get to day 11, and it will be easier because the habit has begun to take root. So have faith that gratitude as a spiritual practice can work the same way. I found that gratitude as a spiritual practice for me reaped benefits within 5 days, not even 11, just 5. I felt very, very different with just 1 week of practice. It totally surprised me. My life started to feel quite different in that short period of time, as full and good. And yes, there were difficulties, but I was noticing the glimmers of joy and had appreciation for them throughout my day. The same can be true for you. So this is the way that we can frame a gratitude practice and how we can get started, how we can stay faithful. And now, in part 2 of this seminar, I'd like to share with you various gratitude practices and rituals that you can bring into your day, which will help you build your gratitude attitude in other ways. So stay tuned for part 2.